Of Jesus. Amen. Hear also from Hebrews chapter 12. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The end is near. The end of the church year, that is. As we come to the end of the church year, though, our attention is drawn to the end. The fact that this world and this life is not going to last forever. Of course, here at church, start talking about end times, and you expect the pastor to start talking about when. And if you're expecting that, I'm sorry. Exactly when, we do not know. Jesus clearly told us to quit speculating about it. Of course, another thing you might no doubt start hearing about as we come nigh unto the end is that Mayan calendar prediction declaring December 21st to be the end of the calendar, to be the onslaught of great calamity. Sorry to throw cold water onto that one too. Tulane University archaeologists who have discovered the only other known bit of information about that Mayan calendar have shown that the calendar, instead of being something the Mayans were using to predict the end, was used during times of crisis to promote continuity and stability rather than to predict apocalypse. Yet Scripture is clear. God speaks to us through His Word, and as God's people, the only place to turn in conversations about the end is to Scripture. Forget Mayan calendars, forget self-proclaimed prophets, forget best-selling novels, turn to Scripture alone. And Scripture does have a lot to say about the end. And as we look at the passages in Scripture, especially the ones read this morning, by the descriptions that the Bible gives us of what those times will be like, it seems to me that nobody wants to be around when they do happen. Listen to the prophet Daniel. There shall be a time of trouble such as never has been. Such as never has been. Well, I know many of you very well, and it seems that you have been through an awful lot already. And it also seems here that Daniel is upping the ante. In other words, it's not going to be pleasant, and it won't be fun or easy. But then it's hardly been all that fun, and it's not been quite that easy even right now. It's not easy living in this world. And maybe your life's not that easy either, hunting for a job, getting older, being younger, struggling to make ends meet, worried about your kids, worried about your grandkids. It's like Daniel saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's not easy watching the struggles of victims of war around the world. Little Taliban girls having to grow up under the, or Afghan girls having to grow up under the Taliban. It's not easy watching the victims of Hurricane Sandy on the television. And you know Hurricane Sandy is just one in a long string of disasters yet to happen. It's not easy when your child is sick, or your mom, or your dad. It's not easy to face uncertainty about the future. It's not easy when people die, when people leave. It's not easy when you watch the world unraveling right before your very eyes. It's not easy when people cheat us or lie about us or hurt us or ridicule us. It's not easy when we see brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters turning away from the Christian faith and chasing after things that cannot save them. This life is tough enough already. Suffering, pain, doubt, fear, grief, questions, uncertainty, and you ain't seen nothing yet? Yikes! The things of this world rattle us to the core. They shake us half to death. Well, why does God tell us it's going to get worse? Answer, because it's the truth. And in part, it's because of the old evil foe, Satan himself. Satan knows that the end is coming, the end is drawing near. His days are numbered, and his time is short. You know, back an ultimate fighter into a corner, and you see fury unleashed. Satan, backed into his corner, increases his attacks on Christians, increases his lies, increases his temptations, does everything in his power to turn Christian against Christian, church member against church member, does everything in his power to vent his wrath into this world, to increase sin and evil and death, all in attempts to destroy the church's faith, to destroy your faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord. Have you seen any of that in our world today? It's going to get worse because of Satan. And it's going to get worse because of sin. Sin in the world, which is easy for us to point out, by the way, much easier than that dreadful sin in our own lives, which is just as evil and just as bad. It's going to get worse because of sin. And what do you see that sin doing? What do you see your sin doing? The hurt and the pain and the sadness we cause each other. Our selfish, self-centered, and oh so piously arrogant ways. The sin that that convinces us to trust ourselves for the answers to our problems, us and the world and science and chance and luck, anything but God and His Word. All this spawns the problems we see today. It's going to get worse because of Satan. It's going to get worse because of sin. And it's going to get worse because of God. God? I thought God was the answer to everything. I thought God was the solution, not the problem. And yes, indeed, He is. But it's going to get worse because of God. Listen to that reading again from Hebrews. At that time, His voice shook the earth, but now He has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. It's going to get worse because God is going to do some divine shaking. Shaking everything that can be shaken so that only what cannot be shaken remains. Shaking heaven and earth so that you will see that only He is worth trusting. Has your life been shaken up lately? Good. Oh, not that I wish you ill, but good in the sense that being shaken helps us stop trusting the wrong things. Were you shaken by some of the recent election results? Good. Keep being good citizens. Don't give up and quit voting. But as the psalmist says, put not your trust in princes. Don't believe for 1 minute that any elected official will solve much of anything. The who was right. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I'm not negative. Do some of the things that you see on television shake you? Israel and Hamas, Iran and Afghanistan, Hurricane Sandy, the threat of earthquake, and the continuing disregard for the sanctity of life. Good. Thank God that He loves you enough to rattle your cage, to rattle your idols off of their foundations so that you trust only in Him. And know that it's only going to get worse, for the time is running short. And all this is the result of sin having entered the world. All this the result of sin, even our own dreadful sin. Okay, now that I've made your mourning, know this as well. Jesus says, do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed, because these dreadful things I've just mentioned are the beginning of the birth pains. Just the beginning of the birth pains. That statement gives us quite a different picture, quite a different perspective on what's going on. Saying that all these dreadful events are just the beginning is a frightening thing to hear indeed. And calling them birth pains acknowledges the troubles and the fears and the anxieties and the horrible realness of the situation. But by calling them birth pains, Jesus tells us that these things are not mere troubling things, but are actually hopeful signs. Birth pains, contractions, say a new creation is coming forth, a little baby. And as the contractions get closer and closer together and harder to bear, that means that the time is short and the delivery near. And while the pain is intense and the situation serious for both mother and baby, if things go well with the birth, the joy of new life in the end is greater indeed. These last days don't have to be a time of fear and anxiety for us, but exactly the opposite, a time of joy and hope. Not that we enjoy the suffering, don't get me wrong there, but that we know that it's not the end. It's pointing us to new life as well. New life, for we need to be delivered too. Delivered from the old sinful part of each of us. The old sinful nature that clings to the things of this world, delivered from this broken and dying world, a world that's dying to live, but it's dying just the same. We need to be delivered, that we might repent, that we might cling only to Jesus and what He did when the days were accomplished for Him to be delivered. And when He said, "It is finished," and bowed His head and gave up His spirit on Calvary's cross. All that happened to make the way for us through death to new life. And that new life you have already been given in the new birth of water and of the Spirit in holy baptism. There, like Phoebe Fenton this morning, you are forgiven, washed clean, snatched from Satan's grasp. Not delivered from the pains of this world yet, but snatched from Satan's grasp nevertheless. That new life is a life of living forgiven. A life fed and strengthened with our Savior's body and blood. And by these means sustaining us, we will endure to the end, not because we are so powerful and can hang on, but because of Him. Because He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Because He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Because He has given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Because He Himself is the cornerstone. And while everything around us is suffering through violent death throes, the cross of Jesus tells us a very different reality. It tells us the truth that in our Savior, death throes have been transformed into birth pains. And that for all who are joined to Christ, death and the end of the world are simply the gates to the joy of new life and heaven itself. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And what else is acceptable worship than to come to Him who gives such grand gifts with humble hearts in reverence and awe, confessing our sin and receiving the gifts He has promised to give? These birth pains are no surprise to God. And bad as they may be, they're not out of His control. And there is a good purpose for it all. For as Jesus said, the gospel must first be proclaimed to you and to me and to all nations. And as it is, many people just don't listen when times are good and things are easy. Only when things get all shaken up. And so God will do some divine shaking, not primarily to destroy, but that all may be saved. And so, as you see everything happening around us, buildings tumbling, nations crumbling, nature grumbling, fear not. Turn to Him and know that new life is right around the corner. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.